As I was looking at these scriptures this week, I got to thinking along a couple of paths, and one thing I thought about was, and I think it's true for most people at one time or another, sometimes it's just an odd feeling that can come up, even in just a normal everyday life. And it's that sense that sometimes we have that something's missing. Even when everything seems like it should be in order and in place and going well, just somewhere in the pit of your stomach, it's just like, it's not quite right, not there. I mean, maybe you experience this. You can be in a crowd of people and still feel alone. Or you can be successful that what you're doing is working. And things are going well, there's money in the bank, and bills are paid, and you still feel that maybe something isn't quite settled or right. You can feel like you're in constant connection, be it social media or friends or family, and it still feel disconnected. And it's really strange, isn't it? You think, logically, it should be fine. But it's not. You know, it's like having all the bars on your phone and it's still not connecting. Everything looks like it should work, but things aren't quite connecting the way they should. And I think that's where a lot of people are spiritually. They feel like there should be something there, but they don't know what it is or where to look or how it should come about, but there's something out there, surely there is. And I think the scriptures we had here today speak directly to that. Those things, that God is not far, that we are not alone, but that connection does matter. It was interesting in the first reading there in Acts, we see this, I think, truism that the human heart is made to seek God. And he walks into Athens, a city full of ideas and philosophies and gods galore. Going to areas where all the different idols, all the different gods, and in fact there was one that, just in case, labeled to the unknown God. These people believe that there was something out there. They had a sense that there is God, gods, whatever it may be. And it's like a junk drawer in the kitchen, right? We all have one. That place where just stuff gets thrown into it just in case. Doesn't have anywhere else to go. It's there just in case. And this altar, this unknown God altar, was like a spiritual junk drawer. Just in case, we'll put it there. We don't know, we're missing somebody, that'll cover it. And we see in our culture today that same sort of a thing, right? We see over 80% of Americans believe in God of some kind, way, shape, or form. That's actually down from 40, 50 years ago, but still, 80%, right? 80% who consider themselves in some way spiritual, that they believe in something. The idea that there has to be more, that there must be more. You see a lot of folks these days giving you the "I'm spiritual but not religious" line. And the good news is that that's not rejection. It's searching. It's seeking clarity. It's a desire to know. It's that feeling in the heart that it's not quite connected where it should be. And Paul does not condemn that. He says, "What you worship is unknown. Hey, tell you what, let's make that known. Let's do that today." And I think, like Paul today, instead of dismissing someone searching, You know, instead of someone says, oh, I'm just spiritual, you're not really religious, and just go, please, ridiculous. No. Just say, that's an opening. That's someone who is understanding that place in the human heart that God would fill, and there's an opportunity there. But that raises the question, I think, that if people are searching, what are they searching for? Now, Paul's answer is maybe a little surprising. He doesn't point them off to a distant God. He doesn't say, you know, this God of the great heavens, far off. Because that's, again, what people kind of thought of God's that way anyway, right? He tells them about the God that is already near. Not something out there somewhere. Here. Right here. Literally, like, right here. That God is closer than we think. Paul reframes all of it. That God is not confined. He's not contained. He's not far away. He says he is not far from each one of us. Now, I've done this, and maybe some of you have done a similar sort of thing, but if you're, like, been looking for your glasses or something, or your keys, and you're tearing things apart, looking all over the place, and just going crazy. That's how I am. I go crazy. You know, not everyone in my house is as nuts as I am about lost things, but I am nuts about lost things. And it's like a worm in my brain, and I have to find it or I will go crazy. So you're looking for your glasses, looking, and then, you know, somebody, usually, like my wife, would say, Steve, they're on your head. Right? Oh, they're in my hand. Have had that happen before, right? It's nuts. You're looking for something, and it's right there. That's what Paul's saying. Here you are. Folks, you're looking everywhere. You're doing all these things. You're doing these rituals. You're reading these philosophies. You're raising these altars. You're making these idols. And God is right here. You don't have to look all over the place. He's been with you the entire time. Paul said, in him we live and move and have our very being. He's not a distant God somewhere that you have to try to find. He's our very life. He's our very being. He holds everything together. God is not just dropping into your life occasionally to check in. He's the very environment you live. And that's where faith begins. Faith begins with awareness. The eyes opening that, oh, God is right there and always has been. But here is where it gets personal. I mean, if God's truly that close, that intimate, not abstract, not detached, then our relationship with God is not a casual thing. Cannot be a casual thing. Closeness invites response. Right? I had a guy a few weeks ago at the car dealership, and he was a close talker. Ever been with a close talker? So I'm standing, and he goes, I said, can I help you? And he goes, here's my face. He's like, yeah, I was looking for it. And I'm like, okay, what? That elicits a response. Okay? You know, like, hey, buddy. Yeah, right? I mean, you can't ignore that. It was right there. Closeness invites a response. And that's where Jesus takes us next in our gospel reading there. Here's what he said. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? If you love me, keep my commandments. I'll say it again. If you love me, keep my commandments. Not fear. Not pressure. Not threat. Love. It starts with love. It is sustained by love. In any kind of healthy relationship, you know, maybe in particularly a marriage or family relationship, you don't act out of obligation. Now, sometimes we do. Humanly speaking, yes, we do. There are times I do things because I just know that that's what I'm supposed to do. But, especially after, you know, almost 26 years now, even those things that maybe I used to think were obligation to my wife, I'm realizing is, I just love her. That's why I do it. Even if I don't want to, even if I think it's maybe silly, even if it's contrary to what I want, I love her. Period. That's it. And that changes everything. We have to fight that impulse we have that obedience is not about earning. Now, there are some things that, you know, we are. You know, we raise up our children. Hey, go on the big potty and you'll get a treat. Right? Yeah. I just say that because I had two customers in this week. That's exactly what they're talking about the whole time. All right. Great. All right? But yeah, right? It's not about earning. It's about aligning. Okay? We don't want to earn our way in. We want to align with Him and who Jesus is. And so the question that we have to continually ask ourselves is, where in our lives is our obedience partial or not wholehearted? What are the things in our lives where, yeah, maybe I'm obeying, okay, I'm doing it, I'm just not super happy about it? God wants our love to be aligned with Him. Are there things in your life where your love is being claimed? You claim it. I love this. I love you. I love Jesus. Whatever it may be, but you're not actually living it. Because that's true obedience. It's not rules. It's love. And if we're honest, this is where people start to feel the tension. Because when we hear the word obedience, we often think, yes, I want to do that, but I don't know if I can do it consistently. Right? I know it says 55 miles per hour. I just don't know that I can always do that. Or want to, even. And that's why Jesus didn't just stop at that command, if you love me, keep my commandments. He could have just ended there, and then we're left to either try our hardest or feel guilty when we fall or think to ourselves, there's no way I can do this, so I might as well just give up. No, He doesn't leave us there. He gives us a promise, an amazing promise. And as we see in verse 16 of John 14, He said, I will ask the Father and He will give you another advocate. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. We have the Holy Spirit, which is a great thing. In fact, it's so great that Jesus, when He's going to leave His disciples, said, it's better for you that I leave. It's better that I'm not here with you physically like I am right now, which seems crazy and would certainly seem crazy to them at that moment. But to think that what He is sending, the Spirit, God's Spirit Himself, that will not only be with us, but in us, helps us. And we can hold on to that. We're not left alone to try to obey and love the way we should. Jesus said, I will send someone. Have you ever gone home, ever, and expected there's somebody there, or family should be there? You walk in the door, and there's no one there. It's kind of weird. It's kind of creepy sometimes. You just feel like, you know, or imagine a little kid coming home and parents aren't there, no one's there, and you just kind of maybe even feel a little panic. But Jesus says, that's not your story. That's not what you have in this life. He's sending his spirit. He's sending that person of the triune God that is our helper, our comforter, our guide. The very presence of Christ in you. And he's there for us. I mean, if you don't have guidance to get somewhere, then you're just left to guess. But if you have guidance, if you have someone alongside you who knows the way, you go forward with confidence. And so that the spirit that he gives us is not distant help. It's presence and direction in all the things of our lives. And I think sometimes we don't think along those lines as we should. You know, us good conservative Christians, you kind of look to that other wing of Christianity, those charismatics, and think, hey, whoa, settle down, buddy. Folks, I think they might be onto something that maybe we should tap into a little bit. A reality, a spiritual reality of God with us always. Never leaving, always helping, always comforting. God with us. You're not navigating this life alone. And when that truth settles in, when we really can understand and grasp and hang on to that, when someone begins to live with that kind of awareness and support, that awareness as you're just walking on the sidewalk, God is with me. When I'm feeling empty or scared, you say, God is with me right now. When you have that, when you really get a hold of that, it doesn't stay private. It starts to show. People notice. That's a different way of living. That is a way of living that is contrary and strange to most people. And that leads directly to what we heard from Peter today in 1 Peter. He said, always be ready to give an answer for the great deep theological questions that people have for you. Be sure that you're ready to answer for the eschatological end times framework that you should have. No. Always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you. People are asking for hope. People need hope. They crave hope. And we have it. You know, sometimes if I was thinking about this today, I may have told you before, but one time I went to a Christian music festival, Wilmer, Minnesota. And I showed up and I brought a big tent. The only tent I had, my dad had it, so I took it. I was camping out, and I had set up, and I thought some people were going to be joining me, but they didn't. So I had this huge tent to myself, and you know, I'd been in this tent a long time. I knew I set it up. I knew it was stable, strong. It was fine. And some big storms were rolling through the area. And there was this guy that randomly met there, and he really didn't have anywhere good to stay. I said, hey, no problem, buddy. I got this huge tent. Come on in. So we did. We got in the tent, and I'm in my sleeping bag, and I'm ready to sleep. And this storm came through, and it was huge. And there was thunder, and there was lightning, and the wind started to blow. And it was kind of a tent, you know, shaped like a house, and had these poles that went up into it. And then they had like springs in them, and you tied it down. And that thing was awesome. And I knew, I'd been through this before. I knew that wind was hitting, and it seems to make things bend and boom. I knew we were going to be okay. I knew that. This guy that invited my tent did not know that. I'm sleeping. I'm like, I'm out. I'm tired, right? I kind of look up, and he was standing up in the middle of the tent, and his hands like this, and he was shaking, and he's like, and I go, hey, it's okay, buddy. It's okay. The tent will handle it. And he goes, really? Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. It's okay. And I don't know that he slept that much that night, but he didn't finally lay down, right? That's the kind of thing. That's the spirit. You know what's going on. When everyone else is anxious around you, when everyone else is looking at world events and all the terrible things going on, and they're worried, and they're anxious, and they're fearful, And then they see someone like you that's going, yeah, that's tough, but you know what? God's good. They go, what? What are you meaning? Hey, I just know. I know. And they ask the question, why are you different? Your life becomes the conversation starter. It's the best starter. It doesn't have to be clever. You don't have to know the clever entryways or arguments, you know, that you give to people. Live your life loving God. And people will notice that. You know, and people see, how do you respond under pressure? What does your life communicate when things are going as they shouldn't be? When you're at work and things are just crumbling or frustrating, what does your life say about what you believe? And when those conversations happen, when people start to ask why, again, they're not looking for abstract theology. They're not looking for a nice hierarchical systematic theology that'll explain everything. They want something real. They want something that's experienced. They're seeking the unknown God. And they want to know Him. I used to work at the old spaghetti factory in Minneapolis as a server. And it was very interesting. And I was, you know, I was probably a few years older than most of the servers. Most of them were like early college students, that kind of thing. And so I was like, I was 25, 26, right in there, you know. But, you know, I worked hard, worked my way up, you know, and that kind of thing. And one day, after it had been a year or more, and I'm, usually before a shift would come, I'd get something to eat and sit and eat it before we go. And another server came and sat down, and he was sitting there eating. And just out of the blue, I mean, literally, I'm eating my, it was probably tortellini with Alfredo sauce and a loaf of bread, most likely. And he said, it seems like you're different. Okay. I hope that's a good thing, right? Right? He goes, yeah, you know, I just noticed that, you know, everyone else gets crazy in that kitchen. It gets crazy and people running around and stuff. And like, you never swear. Everyone else is just cursing up a storm. I go, yeah, I guess I don't. And he goes, and everybody else is like flipping out and yelling at each other. And you're just like calm and you get things done and you help other people even though you're really busy. I go, well, thank you. I said, thank God for that. He goes, I have a question for you. Do you go to church? Yes, I do. And all of a sudden, again, I don't know this guy from anybody hardly, and we just had this conversation, and he was struggling. And 6 months after that, he gave his heart, life to Christ. And again, I didn't whip out my four spiritual laws. I didn't try to explain deep things. He was just seeking something. He saw something in me. And I said, hey, I can share that with you. God is with you. God is with you. And that's where the psalmist takes us. In Psalm 66, Psalm says, come and hear. Come and hear what He has done for me. It's testimony. And to have a testimony, we live our lives for God and share what that is. You know, because to trust, someone needs to, I guess, see the real experiences in your life. Right? They want to have something that's real, and they look for and see if it's real for you. A couple months ago, I had a customer at the dealership walked in the door, and someone greeted him and says, I want to see Steve King. They go, oh, have you been here before? Nope. Have you been shopping here before? Nope. But I'd like to see Steve King. I went up, and again, I had no idea who this guy was. None. He'd never been there before. But he was shopping for a car, and he'd gone through some Google reviews. And as he paced through the Google reviews, I had a couple of good ones up. Very fortunate. I'm glad. And he said, I looked through the Google reviews, and I saw your name pop up, and someone gave you a really great review, and I decided I'm going to come and see you. Outstanding. right? Hey, your life, it's like a Google review out there. People see you. And if they see that thing, that peace, that hope, that love, they want that. And if they see that it's real for you, they say, maybe it can be real for me too. The psalm said, truly God has listened. He has heard my prayer. Faith grows when we remember what God has done. And we share that with those that are around us. People are desperate for God. That is how we are made. We are created that way. And when it's not there, something is missing. And people crave and they want to fill it. And they fill it with so much other stuff and garbage. And we can show them what it really is. So let's bring this all together. People are searching. God is near. Love leads to obedience. The Spirit empowers us in those efforts of love and obedience. And from that, our lives become witness to those who are seeking. And God responds personally in His love. I go back to what I mentioned earlier. You can be in a room that's full Wi-Fi signal, but if it's not connected, it's not going anywhere. We need to remember that God's presence is never the issue. It's connection. Connection. Seeking God in love. I would encourage you in the goings in and outs of your life to seek knowledge. You know, I mean, I love that stuff. You know, stuff we're doing here. About maybe 2 weeks or so, we're going to embark here on a study of Galatians. Great, great book. I encourage you, if you want, start reading it. I want to know things, right? But also seek, for a better word, to feel things. That God is not just abstract. You know, read the System Act stuff, read the outline stuff, but dig into some other things too. The Psalms. Authors like Brennan Manning or Philip Yancey that would seek to recover the heart, to have that wholeness of God in our lives. And as you think of your life this week, maybe try to sift out. Are there areas in your life, not every part maybe, but are there parts of it maybe that God is feeling distant? Can you spot somewhere in your life maybe where obedience is being resisted? A particular thing maybe? Can you identify things in your life where the Spirit's inviting you to trust Him deeper? To let go, right? We sang it today. I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. Is there something in your life that you're maybe clinging on to a little bit? He's inviting you to let go. And then, are there people around you that are searching? And I would venture to say that each and every one of you could identify somebody, a neighbor, a friend, a colleague, that's searching. And you know it. And maybe you could just show them, say, hey, you know what? Seems like you're kind of disconnected. I have an idea for you. Think about this. God is near. And if you're in that place of struggle, He's near. If your neighbor is in that place of struggle, He's near and wants to be with you. And so we can trust in His Spirit to guide us and move us and help us in these things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and your encouragement. Lord, open our eyes to your nearness. Help us to see you, to even if we feel disconnected or distant, to know that you are right here. Lord, teach us to love you in a way that would transform our lives. Fill us with your spirit so we no longer walk alone. And Lord, make our lives a testimony to those around us. They would see us and say, what is going on there? I want some of that. And may you be glorified in us in all these things. Amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day again. Have a good week.